Every day. We're going to add a caller for you that has a comment or a question. Caller, you're on with Donald Mann.
I wasn't wanting to talk to him. I wanted to talk to you about one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, now I want to see if you, I want to understand this, see. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you say that you thought Mitt Romney didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Did you say that?
My Mormon contact, and I called and asked that question. They believe that Jesus Christ was a good man, but they do not believe that he was the Son of God.
Yes, they do.
And I'm just telling you, she goes to a Mormon church, and that's what she told me. They don't believe that he was the Son of God. They believe that he was a prophet, but not the Son of God.
Now, that's what the Jehovah's Witness believes.
I'm just telling you, it's what she said. I called her because she is a Mormon.
Wait a minute. Okay. I'm saying that these two Mormon boys came to my house. And I ask them these questions. They believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that you have to be saved. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, there's other things that they believe that I don't believe.
All right, well, I'm going to look this up here.
Like that they believe that the enemy, which I call the enemy, which is Satan, they believe that he was Jesus' brother. Now, I don't believe that, but there's things that I believe that they do believe. Now, that's what these boys told me.
All right. I'm gonna look this up because I specifically called my friend, who is a Mormon, and asked her that, and she said they believe that Jesus was a good man, and he was a prophet.
I'm just saying that that's what those boys told me.
All right.
Okay,
fine. I'm going to look it up for you. Thank you, honey.
Yeah. What's your take on that, the guest?
My take on that is that, of course, absolutely, I believe that Jesus Christ is the singular only Son of God sent to man by which his action through his blood saves us, and faith is what gives us access to it. Jesus himself said, I'm the truth, the life, and the way, period. In terms of what the Mormons say, my understanding about the Mormons is not very deep, is that they have a whole different, they use a lot of the same terminology that a standard Christian would use, but it means different things. So they wouldn't necessarily acknowledge that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he is a singular Son of God, and that his blood was the atoning blood for the human race.
Donald, are you old enough to remember that when John F. Kennedy was running for president, a lot of people says, boy, we can't elect him, he's a Catholic, and if we elect a Catholic to be president, the Pope is going to be running the United States of America. Do you remember that?
I was in high school at that time.
Well, I wasn't. I was graduated from college by then, you know?
But I heard those statements, and, you know, within our political process, there is a series of checks and balances, and that they do work. But again, the difference is the integrity, I think as Elaine was pointing out, the integrity of the people and what their self-identity is the key.
Well, what's your advice to the people who don't really understand propaganda and too busy to worry about it? And how in the world can you go about in the world with all these messages coming at you, propaganda on this and propaganda on everything? What's your advice to the people? How do you process this in your mind, Donald?
Okay, the way that you do it is you at the end of the day, you're being bombarded with things they're trying to write on your heart continually 24/7. And you're made for that, by the way. The effect is you have to have a purposeful, intentional program where you are writing the truths of God's Word on your heart in the New Testament, New Creation, so that you have a basis to move from. I have a friend of mine whose name is James. He's not a was, he is an is. And he was a returning vet. He came back, was having severe difficulties. His skills he had learned in the military weren't transitioning well for him. He was in sales. He wasn't doing well in sales. Of course, there was stress in the family. And he got hold of my book, Okay, God, Now What? And he'd been a minister for years, preaching from the Bible. When he saw the program, how deeply biblical it was, he started doing the affirmations right away. And what he said was this. At first, it was like I was a piece of paper being thrown around by every wind that came around. And I was thrown into the bushes, thrown up against the wall, rolling down the road. I had no substance, no strength in my life. As I started doing the affirmations, building my self-identity, all of a sudden it was like inside of me, it felt very strange, a rock started to be planted. Pretty soon I felt like I was attached to a flagpole, and no matter what the winds were blowing, I was firm and fixed. And that's what happened to me as I did the affirmations. And that's what happens is you choose the right affirmations, You make an intentional effort to it, and you can strengthen and build your life. So you're not, because you are really, you know, using the term propaganda, it's always around us, so you have to choose what you're going to build with.
Donald, what is the name of your book?
The name of the book is called Okay, God, Now What? It's available wherever fine books are sold. Also, if you go to my website, okgodnowwhat.com, I'll give you a list of free top 10 affirmations to get you started with your own intentional program to establish yourself in something that doesn't move.
Donald, do you have Okay, God, Now What at your fingertips?
I certainly do.
Would you open it up, please, and read the first three chapters of your book?
I'll read you the titles of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Three chapters.
Understanding the need for new attitudes.
Understanding the need for new attitudes. All right, that's one.
Understanding the salvation God offers.
Okay, what's the third?
Understanding Christian biology.
Okay. Now, if I got your book and read your book, what would you hope that I would take away from it? What three things?
First thing I would hope is for the awesomeness of what God has given you in Jesus. That would be number one. Number two, that you would come away with an understanding of how God built the human body so that you can then start to manage what's happening to you. And number three, you would do a serious intentional program using the affirmations in the book to be able to develop your mind. The scripture says to renew your mind into Christ, into your new creation, and you would do it, and then you would experience what James did. Your life would become firmly fixed, and no matter what happens, you're standing strong.
Huh. Well, what kind of reception did you get from your book? Okay, God, Now What?
The people that have done it, have done the program, marvelous stories of what's happened in their lives. I have one lady, his name is Sherry, lives out in Denver, Colorado. She was a soccer mom and also had a job, so she was really stressed in both kinds of directions. Her husband was traveling a lot. He was gone all the time. But they both liked the money they were making, and they were looking at buying a new car. But she knew something was missing. It was all work and no joy. She also worried about her kids and how they were being raised, what she was doing. She was in a Bible study. She'd been one of it for years, yet they saw a few answers to prayer, and she didn't know where else to go. She felt all alone with no one to give direction to what really works. A lot of words, but no substance. Then she started to read. Okay,
I can get this on Amazon, can I?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on any place fine books are sold. You get iTunes, you know, iBooks, any place.
And have you voiced it? In other words, can I get it in?
We already have the audiobook version ready to go. You get that at my website, okgodnowwhat.com.
It says here that Don Mann is a successful scientist, businessman, and longtime Christian minister, and you reveal God's core principles for uniting your heart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is that characterized right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was my intent and purpose. In other words, that most of us have heard a lot about, you know, God's got the answers in the Bible. Jesus is the answer. The real question is, how do you make that work? How does that transition to success in your life? And really, the technology for doing that was well understood by most of all the Bible writers, but they had a different worldview than we have today.
If I said, "Okay, God, now what?" in a pit with a lion, what would you say I'm saying?
Say that again.
Okay, God, now what? In a pit with a lion.
I wouldn't say that if I got into a pit with a lion, because I would understand that first of all, my trust is in God. It's not okay, God, now what? A question. Okay, God, let's get this done. I would have a different attitude. My identity would be different. Also, I would understand that I have the use of the name of Jesus in prayer to be able to control or have him control through my words the situation. And we've seen that happen many times.
How do you believe we get to heaven? What is a path for us to get to heaven?
The path for us to get to heaven is really, it says in the scriptures, to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead in your heart and to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And God gives you then what was called the new birth. Your spirit is transformed. Your seal on your future is guaranteed from that point on.
And I do too. I believe that Jesus is the light and the way, and accepting Christ is how you get in heaven. And you can't work your way into heaven, which is why I am so flummoxed by Christians who say, well, we don't care who we have in the White House. Joseph Smith in 1830 introduced into the Mormon faith a after-death baptism for those people who hadn't accepted God and to ensure that they get into heaven. So they will baptize you after you're dead to make sure that you got in heaven. Now explain that to me. I'm always confused by that.
I can't understand that one either. And I don't pretend to go there.
Say, oh, no big deal. Christians are just supposed to say, what I believe my whole life, it doesn't matter that my president doesn't believe that. Right?
Well, you know, if you look at the history in the Bible,
right?
Okay, most of the leaders of the countries in the Bible weren't godly people.
Of our country, you mean?
No, I mean I'm looking at the Bible, the stories in the Bible. Whereas you got Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, right? But we are told in the New Testament to pray whenever men get together to pray for their government. Okay, and I think that's one of the things that's been missing in most Christian organizations is they don't make that a priority.
Let me tell you, that is going on today. When I go to St. Louis, I go to worship service with a group of men, leaders in the St. Louis community,
mm-hmm.
and we go to the YMCA or someplace, and about 20 of us, and we pray for our government.
Absolutely, that's wonderful.
My prayer group does it every day, actually.
Yes, that's absolutely wonderful.
I'm called by God to pray every day, pray without ceasing for those in authority over us.
Yes, and I think we're seeing more and more people doing that, and that's going to be the real source of change.
On the cover of your book, you have a post with these signs pointing in various directions. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, they're pointing in 180 degrees. In other words, there's a whole back of the sign that has no direction on it, right? That's, you know, there's only one set of ways to go to where the benefits are. And God has wonderful plans for us, wonderful abilities for us, wonderful grace for us. He wants the absolute best for us, and He spent the greatest thing in the universe, Jesus, to make sure that we could have it. But if you don't renew your mind in an active, intentional program, you will have it, but you won't know how to walk in it.